like the nausea caused by lukewarm water. Lukewarm Christians are repulsive to Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying there.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Contemporary aged theologian recently wrote in one of his documents these words. He said, "Our generation is lost to the truth of God, to the reality of divine revelation, to the content of God's will, to the power of God's redemption, and to the authority of His Word. For this loss," he says, "it is paying dearly in a swift relapse to paganism. The savages are stirring again. You can hear them rumbling and rustling in the tempo of our times." I think he's right. They're there regularly in education and media and government and law and medicine and all the vehicles of power. We can hear them rumbling and rustling in the tempo of our times. Worse, however, than pagan rumblings is Christian crumblings. It's frightening. It's a frightening time, I think, as a pastor. It's a frightening time when the pagans are rumbling and the church is crumbling. And that's the way it was in Laodicea. The letter I just read a moment ago, Revelation 3, 14 to 22. That's the way it was in Laodicea. Laodicea was part of a tri-city area closely associated with Colossae. There's a letter to the Colossians in the New Testament. And Hierapolis. A tri-city area, all about 10 miles distance from each other, Laodicea, Colossae, Hierapolis. Laodicea was rich and famous due to her gold, her textile industries, and her universally used eye salve. It was like the Bank of America, Macy's, and the Mayo Clinic all rolled up into one right there in Laodicea. But with her affluence came arrogance and self-sufficiency. And much of that arrogance and self-sufficiency in the city of Laodicea had rubbed off on the church in Laodicea. It had rubbed off on the Laodicean Christians. And Jesus rebukes them for it in this text. This, the sternest of Christ's messages to the churches, employs a medical model by using two sobering pictures. First is the condition of a sick body. That's verses 15 to 17. One is the condition of a sick body, and it's verses 15 and 16 and 17, which I just read to you a moment ago, and if your Bible's open, you can see them there. I think there are two weakening influences that show up in this diagnosis. Jesus is sort of diagnosing the body, and he's using sort of a medical model, and he's defining for us the nature of their sickness. And it seems to me that there are two weakening influences that show up in this diagnosis. One is low-level commitment. The second is high-level contagion. One is low-level commitment, and that shows up in verses 15 and 16. They were neither hot nor cold. Well, what were they? They were lukewarm. And that is his metaphorical way of describing low-level commitment in the Christian community. This is the only place in the New Testament where the word lukewarm is used. The expression is drawn from the geography of the area that surrounded the city. Robert Mounts, in his commentary in Revelation, I think is right. He says, the contrast here is between the hot medicinal waters of Hierapolis, which was close by, and the cold pure waters of Colossae, which was also close by to Laodicea. Both these cities, Hierapolis and Colossae, supplied water to Laodicea through an elaborate system of aqueducts. But in both cases, when the water arrived in Laodicea, it started hot from Hierapolis. It started cold from Colossae. But in both cases, when the water arrived in Laodicea, having traveled all that mileage through those aqueducts, it had cooled or warmed to a distasteful, lukewarm temperature. And Jesus is saying that this is the condition of the heart of the people in the Laodicean church, lukewarm. In this kind of church, ugly things happen. Think about it just for a moment. In this kind of flabby and anemic church, which is apathetic and lethargic, and is not on fire for Christ, where there is no flaming fidelity to truth and to evangelism and to doing mission, and reaching people in our world with the gospel of Christ, where we're no longer taking seriously the missional mandates of the Bible. In that kind of church, ugly things begin to happen. Symptoms surface which are destructive to the well-being of the body of Christ. Symptoms like this: carnality in Christian living, a surrendering to the seductions of the flesh, We live in a flesh-feeding, flesh-showcasing world. Everywhere you go, all you see is flesh. We're easily seduced by it. And that's one of the symptoms of an apathetic church, carnality in Christian living, a surrendering to the seductions of the flesh. Another symptom is gossip and slander in that church. Murmuring and disputings, grumblings and complainings begin to circulate and make their defiling rounds. Gossip and slander scorch the soil of the body. They tarnish the soul of the body. I think it's another symptom in this kind of a church. There develops a lack of theological and doctrinal specificity. Does that make any sense to you? There develops a lack of theological and doctrinal specificity. We develop a sort of generic brand, a kind of brand X kind of Christianity where we don't sweat the details any longer. We're apathetic about the details. A generic brand of Christianity is preferred over the kind which gives attention to the details of Christian truth and its ethical implications in our lives. And this can be terribly dangerous. This kind of inattention to detail, this emphasis on generality and lack of specificity means that many churches give up truth over an extended period of time until their message becomes very hollow and very impotent and very powerless. And finally, there's a terrible loss of missional urgency. I think that's another symptom, obviously, of an apathetic church. There's a terrible loss of missional urgency. Nobody ever gets excited about exporting a kind of concessive, complaining, compromising, couch potato lazing kind of Christianity. And worst of all, this is the worst indictment of all, I think. Jesus himself, if you read verses 15 and 16 carefully, worst of all, Jesus himself is repulsed. He says, "I will vomit you out of my mouth." That's Jesus speaking. I mean, like the nausea caused by lukewarm water, coffee gone cool. I had two cups sitting on my study desk this week. One was hot. One I'd let get cold. I picked up the wrong one and took a drink. I didn't want to swallow it. Or like lemonade, ice cold lemonade that has gone warm. Like the nausea caused by lukewarm water, lukewarm Christians are repulsive to Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying there. It is a picture of almost vivid crudeness. He's talking about vomiting things out. It's vivid crudeness. Expressing in the strongest possible way Christ's rejection of Christian apathy. And that is an oxymoron. Those two terms should never belong together, Christian apathy. They don't go together. They don't belong together. And yet there it was in the church at Laodicea, this intense moral indignation against Christian moral indifference or apathy. It's certainly not lessened in the 20th century. Jesus is still repulsed by it. Our lukewarmness infects us. I hope it hasn't. I hope it never will. I hope it hasn't infected you or me. It can happen to preachers very easily. Our lukewarmness is as repulsive as Laodicea's. These people did not have burning hearts. They were not on fire for Jesus Christ. Flaming fidelity had been set aside. Nauseating apathy had taken control of that body of believers. It is a warning for us if we intend to have a ministry that touches anybody's life for Jesus Christ. If we intend to obey the Amen, the faithful and true witness, our sovereign Lord Jesus Christ, the beginner of the creation of God, the one who spoke it into existence, that solemn, sovereign, wonderful Savior, Redeemer, and Lord, if we intend to obey Him and honor Him, we cannot be a lukewarm body of believers. Can I go a step further? As he diagnoses the sickness in this body, there was not only low-level commitment, there was high-level contagion. Contagion, in this case, means poison or disease. There were infective agents and organisms that had found their way into the body. There were microbes of evil that were poisoning the system and inducing disease in that New Testament local church. And what are these infective agents and organisms, these microbes of evil? Can I just list them for you? They're right there in verse 17? They're right there in verse 17. You can see this as well as I can. One, there was affluence. You say, "I'm rich." By the way, there's nothing intrinsically wrong with affluence. There's nothing intrinsically wrong with being rich, but all of us need to understand that there are grave dangers that lurk all around it, and we must learn to handle and process our wealth Christianly. Otherwise, it will corrupt us. And lots of people in America have gotten rich. We're an economically driven culture rather than a spiritually and morally driven culture. And there are abundant evidences of that truth in our world today. And among those lots of people who've gotten rich are Christian people. And there are grave dangers that lurk around that unless we process and handle our wealth and our financial resources biblically and Christianly. There was affluence. You say, "I am rich." And there was opulence. I have become wealthy, by which I think he means through the acquisition of status symbols. I am rich and I become wealthy through the acquisition of status symbols. Stacks of stuff lining up like robots to buy whatever the media moguls say we must have on television or the newspaper. stacks of stuff. You are increased in goods, the King James says. Affluence and opulence. And then arrogance. They said, I have need of nothing. The pride of Laodicea, the city, was infectious. And Christians in the church had caught the plague. Laodicea, the city, had rebuilt from the earthquake of AD 61 without the aid of Rome. They didn't need the aid of Rome. They had all their own resources. Who needs Rome? And if we're not careful, someday we'll be saying, who needs God? There was affluence and opulence, and there was arrogance, and I think there was ignorance. You do not know, he says. In other words, there is a huge disparity between what you say you are and what you actually are. And you do not even know it. They were ignorant of their most basic needs in following affluence and opulence. And arrogance and ignorance, there came decadence. And that's the end of verse 17 there. It's the way it always is. On account of all of these microbes of evil, these infective agents and organisms, the church of Laodicea had become wretched and miserable. Literally, the wretched one. That's the way the Greek is. With the definite article standing before it. You've become the wretched one. And you've become miserable. That is, the one standing in need of pity and mercy is really what the Greek word means. You stand in need of pity and mercy. And why were they wretched and miserable? Because you are in reality poor, blind, and naked, and you didn't even know it, he says. They were beggars despite their banks. They were blind despite their eye salve. They were naked despite their clothing factories. That is their real condition. And that is Jesus' view of nominal Christianity, of apathetic, lethargic Christianity. That is his view of people who are not really and not wholeheartedly committed to him. Morally and spiritually, such a person, he says, is a naked, blind beggar. He is a beggar because he has nothing with which to purchase God's forgiveness or entrance into God's family. He's naked because he has no clothes to make him fit to stand before a holy God. Nothing with which to cover up the shamefulness of his sinfulness. It remains uncovered. And he is blind because he has no idea either of his spiritual poverty or of his terrible peril and spiritual danger. Living life without Christ. They could indeed manage without an imperial subsidy and recover from an earthquake as they did in AD 61. But they could not manage without the grace of God and the finished work, the cross work of Jesus Christ, if they hope to recover from their sin problem. And neither can we. I could never manage without the grace of God. I could never manage apart from the saving efficacy, the saving power of the cross work of Jesus Christ, where he paid the penalty for my sins and where he paid the penalty for your sins, where he died our death, assumed our guilt, bore our penalty. That's what he was doing on that cross. We cannot make it. We cannot recover from our sin problem apart from the grace of God, the cross work of Jesus Christ, and personal reception of that Christ into our lives.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
They are poor, but Christ has gold. They are naked, but Christ has clothes. They are blind, but Christ has eye salve.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.